You find the reading this morning on page 1022 in the Pew Bibles, and that's St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, and we're going to be reading the first 14 verses, which is headed, Jesus Comforts His Disciples. So that's page 1022, St. John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I not have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. Excuse me. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? These words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, all who have faith in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
It takes a lot of preparation these days to get preaching. Everything's got to go in the right place. And I've got to turn this on as well. There you go. Okay, first of all, an apology. Next week I will have a new denture fitted. So this week you're going to have to look at me and try not to think of Albert Steptoe. So first of all, a disclaimer. I'm preaching next week at Hoddesdon Baptist Church and I won't have a tooth then either. So for them as well. Thank you, Joe, for leading and the band, and for David for reading the word to us. Wilma and I didn't get a sat nav until Wilma's mum gave us one, and we didn't buy a sat nav until we lost the first one. Now we have two sat navs because we found the first one as well. But I reckon, actually, that sat-navs are just a new, exciting, technological way of getting lost. And you shouldn't get rid of your Atlas just yet. Always have one in the car with you. But the best way not to get lost, of course, as we heard earlier, was to have somebody in the car who knows the way. And we're going to be looking today at Jesus, who is not only the one who knows the way, but the one who is the way. Oh, I forgot. Here we go. Change. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's what, if you put in SG128LX and you try to get to all nations, that's where you end up. You have reached your destination in the middle of a field. But it's more than just guidance that we are looking at here. Jesus Christ is the way. And as we look around the world, and again, Joe, thank you for the prayer time, and you think about ISIS or ISIL or IS or whatever, think about Ebola, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, don't you get the impression that the politicians actually don't know what they're doing? They don't know where to go. They don't know the way. Today we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ as the way. So if you've got your Bibles, please open them to John 14. You will probably need them. And this is the passage, quite a long passage, that leads up to Jesus' crucifixion. We are in the final week of Jesus' life. It may even be the day before he's arrested. And Jesus comforts his disciples. Now, if you go back to chapter 11, you'll see, and trace it through, you'll see why. Chapter 11, Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead and says, I am the resurrection and the life. A huge high point. But this prompts the leaders to want to kill Jesus. So, and the disciples know this. It's scary. Then Jesus is anointed at Bethany. And he says these strange words. She's anointing me for my burial. And so down it again. Then on a high with the entry into Jerusalem, chapter 12, verse 12. And they're all excited about what's going to happen. Jesus coming as king to Jerusalem. But that, of course, is followed by Jesus yet again, predicting his death in chapter 12. In chapter 13, he predicts his betrayal. And at the end of chapter 13, he predicts Jesus' denial. So the poor disciples have been going on a roller coaster ride emotionally throughout this time. And so Jesus comforts his disciples. And all these three events, betrayal, denial, his death, serve to take away Jesus from his disciples. But Jesus doesn't say to them, there, guys, it'll be all right. It's going to work out. No, it's not going to be all right. It's actually going to be terrible, horrible, watching Jesus die on the cross. But Jesus comforts his disciples by saying to them, believe in the Father, believe in me. He's not explaining how it's all going to happen. He says, trust in me. Now, before going any further, I want to remind us why John wrote his gospel. I mentioned this when I preached on John 1 a few weeks ago. John 20, 31 says, I write these things to you that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. So that's why John has written all these things. And this is why he wrote John 14, that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing in him have life in his name. And of course, this is once again revealing who Jesus is to the disciples. And so we're asking the question this morning, who is this Jesus, according to this passage? Now, first of all, Jesus is seen as the way to the Father. Look at verses 4 to 6. Unfortunately, you have section divisions in the middle, which actually weren't in the Bible originally. But you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father. He is the way. Now, the way, he's not a way, he is the way. He's not going to give them directions. He's not going to tell them which way to go. He is the way to go. It is not walking along, it's not Jesus saying to the disciples, well, if you go live this way, if you live that way, if you live the other way, then this is the way to go. No, he is saying that he is the actual road, because the word that he uses here is road. I am the road to the Father. It is in relationship with Jesus Christ that the disciples and we will find the way to live. And it's not this instruction manual that everybody would like. You know, what Joe said, you get the AA and you print it out, all the directions, and then of course you can't look at them because you're driving. But it's actually having Jesus Christ along with them that they will know the way. Now in the Old Testament, the people of Israel were told to walk in the way of the Lord. And that was shorthand for keeping the covenant with God, with their God, who they had encountered at Sinai. Psalm 37 verse 5 says, to commit your way to the Lord, which is commit your way to his way, to walk in the way of the Lord. And you can look it up later, but Genesis 18:19 says that God has chosen Abraham so that he will teach his children to keep the way of the Lord. And in that way, he's going to bless the nations. So walking in the way of the Lord, Jesus Christ is our way to the Father. It is not religion. It is not philosophy. It is not ideology. It's relationship. And it is that relationship with God that leads us through our life. Sometimes we like to, well, what do I do here? I need guidance right now. What's my next step after all nations? But it's not that roadway that God's giving me. All he's telling me is to practice what you preach, Davis. I've been telling students to trust in the Lord with all their heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Okay, this is the time to live it. And that is committing your way to the Lord. He is our way. It's relationship with him. Saint Augustine, a fourth century, I think, church father said, how do you live? He says, love and do what you like. I like that. It's not a bunch of rules. It is love God, love your neighbor, and live how you like. Because if you do, you will know the way. So Jesus Christ as the way. I'm trying to make this come up. Way, truth, and life. Go on. He is also the truth. Again, this is not Jesus knows the truth. Of course, he does know the truth. And he's going to pass it on as a bunch of instructions. He is the truth. And in John 1:14, we remember back to that introduction. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Chapter 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth comes through Jesus Christ. I think it was now Douglas Adams who wrote Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, who said there was a belief in some race in the universe that if somebody discovered the meaning of the universe, it would immediately be destroyed and replaced by something even more inexplicable. Others believe that that has happened already. This universe, life doesn't seem to make sense. But Jesus Christ makes sense of life. He orders life. And it is relationship with the way is the way that we know the truth. And later in John, Pilate says to Jesus, "What is truth?" But Jesus had already pointed the way to truth, which is relationship with him. If you want your life to be ordered, to have a purpose, there's only one way to do that, and that is relationship with the truth and the life. There you go, there it is. He is also the life. And this, again, appears throughout John. In John 14:6, Jesus is the life. In John 1, we had it, in him was life, and that life gave light to all humanity. Life, Jesus Christ is the life. He is the source of life. He is the sustainer of life. He exists without anything else. Now, this can get really philosophical, but I'm not going there too far. But he doesn't need anything else to exist. We only exist because he does. Because he is life. But in John, Jesus is not only life in the sense of existence, he is life in the sense of abundance of life. When Jesus is talking about himself being the good shepherd in John 10:10, he says, "I have come that they may have life, and life to the full, life in abundance." Ricky Martin knows nothing of la vida loca, the crazy life in Spanish. It is in Christ that we live la vida loca, or we should be living la vida loca. He is bursting forth life. Now, Wilma and I watched a couple of programs on, we'd recorded. One was Brian Cox's Human Universe, where he does speak a lot of rubbish, I'm afraid. And the other one was Horizon, about does everything that we thought we knew about the universe, is it wrong? And they were cosmology programs. And they came to the conclusion, or Brian Cox came to the conclusion, that it is almost impossible that life would have come to this planet. It's ludicrous. You know, there are too many mistakes, changes, evolutionary jumps. So there must be, he said, multiple universes, which actually universe means one, so you can't have multiple universes. You have a multiverse. There is an infinite number of universes. And I said it seems to be that they're avoiding the elephant in the room, that life comes from God. It was arranged like this and seems perfect like this because actually it is perfect like this. And he is life. And it is in Jesus Christ we find life. We can find life. Full life. Abundant life. Life that overflows itself to others. So others have life because we do. And that's the life of Jesus Christ. Couple of quotes. I want the second one as well. One from a guy called George Beasley Murray. We used to call him George Beasley Murray when I was at All Nations. But he said, "Jesus leads his own to the Father's house, revealing the true truth about the goal of existence and how it may be reached, making its attainment possible by granting entrance on into the life of the Father's house." And more simply, a great biblical commentator called F.F. Bruce says, "All truth is God's truth. All life is God's life. God's truth and God's life are incarnate in Jesus Christ. He is the center of our faith. Not coming to church, not being nice, it is he who is the center. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And we come to the Father through him." So Jesus is the way. He is also the revelation of the Father. And of course, that reveal, that leads straight on in from verse 6. All of this is based on the fact that he is in relationship with the Father. Now, again, going back to John 1, John 1:18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Now, in verses 7 to 11, we have all this, "I am in the Father and the Father is in me." And it's all very complicated. I love Trinitarian theology. It's just wonderful. The relationships between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, this intimate, loving, purposeful relationship that they have. And we try and do it mathematically, one in three and three. It doesn't make sense, really. But it makes sense in the fact that Jesus Christ is doing the work and saying the words of the Father. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Now, I don't like all of the book that I'm just about to mention, but there is an interesting part in it, a book called The Shack. Has anybody read that? Nods, yeah, a few hands. There's a man who's invited to a shack to meet God in Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he has conversations with each of them. And so he has a conversation with the Father, then with Jesus, then the Holy Spirit. And then he comes back to talk to the Father. And the Father says, as you were saying to me, and the Father says something that this guy had said to the Holy Spirit. And so he says, but I said that to the Holy Spirit. So we can't talk to the Holy Spirit without talking to me. Now that's all very difficult to understand. However, the relationship, the point is that Jesus Christ is the one who reveals to us who God is. God the Father. Because if we've seen him, we've seen the Father. What does that mean for us? Well, if you want to know God the Father, you need to be in relationship with God the Son, in the power of God the Holy Spirit. And that means reading the Bible, studying the Bible, praying, confessing our sins, gathering together as a community of faith. It means all these things. If we want to know Jesus, you want to know the Father through Jesus Christ in the power of the Spirit, that's the way it's done. It's in what we used to call the Christian disciplines. We don't like that word anymore, discipline, but it is. Every day, thinking, confessing our sins, praying, loving God, and we see the Father. Now, it's easy and quick to say that, isn't it? But let's go back to a little cosmology again. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And if it's true that there was the Big Bang, then I don't think we would have liked to have been around. 100, now I've forgotten the numbers again. I've learned the numbers of the speed of light. 186,000 meters per second. Thank you. Now I'm satisfied with the fact I didn't understand that. Speed of light. God created. You've seen the pictures of the Hubble telescope has sent back, haven't you? Have you seen the pale blue dot, which is a picture of Earth as this, or Saturn II, I think it was, left the solar system? You know, big universe. God created all of this. That's who we're talking about when we know the Father through Jesus Christ. The creator of this massive universe, we can know. And in dialogue with atheists sometimes I say, you think it's a scandal that I believe that God created the universe? The scandal of Christianity is that we believe that a first century Jewish carpenter reveals that God. You know, you want scandal? I can give you scandal. We believe that it is Jesus Christ who shows us the Father. In relationship with him, we can know God and know him as a person. So, Jesus is the way to the Father, way, the truth, and the life. He is the revealer of the Father. And Jesus is also the power for our Christian mission. Verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father, you may ask anything in my name and I will do it. It is through Jesus Christ going to the Father that they will do these greater works. Now, the word works here, When John talks about Jesus' miracles, he uses the word sign. He doesn't use the word work or powerful work, which is used in the other Gospels. He uses the word sign. So when it's talking about the works that Jesus did, it doesn't particularly mean the miracles, but it probably does include the miracles. So it's not exclusively the miracles, but it would include them. Sorry, not exclusively the miracles, but there were other things as well. These are the works that Jesus does. And we will do greater works than these. And John is not talking about more spectacular things. He is talking about the word, speaking the word of God to the world and showing the world what it is to be in relationship with the Father through the Son. Now, if you look at John 16, a little bit further on, this is a second part of this little talk that Jesus has given the disciples. Jesus repeats this. John 16, verse 5. Now, I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you ask, where are you going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So clearly Jesus is referring to him being the power of the mission of the disciples through the Holy Spirit. And really, that is the power of our mission. It is Christ who is the power of our mission. So, what does all this mean? What's our application? First of all, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, if you don't know him as the way, the truth, and the life, I would suggest that it is a good idea to know him, because he is the way to the Father. He is the very truth that gives us reason for life. He is the life that inspires our life, gives us abundant life. Talk to one of the deacons. Talk to Dawn. David will be over the Chamber Street side of the church afterwards. Talk to somebody about this. You can have this full relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And believe me, I've been on this road for quite a while, and it is worth it. Not for fear of hell, but for love of God. If you do know Jesus as the way, the truth, and life, please live like it. Don't go around looking miserable. One of my favourite theologians, Karl Barth, said that there is no place in the church for miserable people. No place. God brings forth laughter, brings forth life and joy. Live like it. He is the way, the truth, and life. Mould your life around him. And in our sharing of the gospel, if you're talking to somebody, this is not an ideology. This is not a philosophy. We're not selling Jesus as the best savior you can possibly buy. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not found in adherence to a group of propositional truths. You've got to believe that, and that, and you're in. No, it's commitment, faith, and love in Jesus Christ. So if you're talking to somebody about Jesus, this is the way we should be doing it. And also, in our missional community, which I mean the church, the life of our community ought to be not projects, programs, processes. No, it is the life of Jesus Christ that drives our community in mission. Everything we do and everything we say and share should be in the light of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our loving Father, we thank you that you sent the Lord Jesus in order that we may know the way, know the truth and the life. And Lord, we do pray that we will be able to live this out in joy, sharing this with others, because it is too good to keep to ourselves. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that we do find our way to the Father through you. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the power for us to be able to do that and for us to be able to work in mission so that others also may know this way, this truth, and this life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.